Podcast.
Hi, this is KM Scott.
And this is Alicia Austin.
And welcome to the first Connected Worlds podcast, the behind-the-scenes look at the production of Epic of World Saga. EOWS, as we shorten it, or just Epic, I guess, is an audio adventure featuring the exploits of Benjamin Banneker II, a human scientist and abolitionist who hops around the universe battling slavery and oppression. With a cast of colorful agents, he calls the Bondbreakers. The show is a Theater of the Mind series done in the style of old radio shows, like The Adventures of Superman or X-1. Another big influence are the scores of Power Records my mom bought me as a kid, featuring superheroes, Star Trek, and other stories created simply from sound and music and voices.
Fill in the blanks.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. They would fill in the blanks. Your imagination would fill in the blanks with, provided with nothing more than voices, sound, and music. And I grew up with that kind of stuff, and I loved it. And so, what I'd like to do now is turn you over to my good pal, Alicia Austin. How you doing, Alicia?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm doing good, thank you. And I'm enjoying this Coke. The beverage. Just want to make that clear. So, Alicia is an executive producer on the show and a media consultant. Well, Alicia, why don't you tell us what you do?
Well, apparently I am an executive producer on the show.
Congratulations.
Right, thank you. And I also do the voice of the other main character. Mm-hmm. I also do all of the social media activity.
Very cool.
And marketing, all that kind of boring behind the scenes stuff that someone has to do.
Yes, because I can't do it.
And I am super organized, so.
Wonderful. Alicia, you play a rather important character in the Epic of World Saga Mythos.
Why, thank you.
And what is that character's name?
Her name is Hilda Hyatt.
Really? Now, what can you tell me about her?
Hilda Hyatt is a mostly human, and we'll be getting into that later. It's kind of complicated. She's a mostly human actress and shapeshifter,
mm-hmm.
probably around 200 years old.
Yes.
She looks significantly younger than that. She got her start during the silent movie era as a serial queen. So she is by nature kind of adventurous and fearless. And as you could probably tell by the term shapeshifter, she's very adaptable. Yeah. I mean, she's actually been around, since 1815, 1820?
Yeah.
That's as far as her being born. So
right.
As far as their adventures are concerned, you're looking at probably 1830s.
Right, right.
You know, early 1840s.
So yeah, even before the silent era shows up. So yeah, I mean, you know, she...
Because that's its own story as to how she becomes an actress. She never intended to become an actress of any kind, let alone on the silent screen, which of course did not exist when she was born, or
right.
for the first good chunk of her life,
yeah.
but she kind of falls into it for necessary reasons.
And she is one of Benjamin's oldest friends. And one of the things that I am actually proud to say here is that I did not come up with that character. And I'm not saying that because I'm ashamed of her. I'm saying that because it was Liz herself who came up with her.
For good or bad, blame me, is what he's saying.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, for bad, anyway.
You'll take all the credit, though, for her success.
Of course.
As always.
Yes, I ever do. Now, just to give you a little bit of a background of the show premiered back in September of 2016. I'd just gotten back from teaching overseas.
2017.
Excuse me, 2017. I started doing
Time flies, but not that fast.
Yes, exactly. I mix up my ears. I started doing the show back in 2017 in September. The first episode was a one-man show. I'd actually been inspired by ASMR videos on YouTube. Now, for those who don't know, ASMR videos are essentially videos made by people who elicit what's called tingles, a pleasant sensation in other people, by making certain sounds. Tapping, mouth sounds, rubbing the microphone, that sort of thing. And while I didn't want to do something like that, I did want to...
You could have missed your calling.
Yes, yes.
Just saying.
Yeah, I could, because I could rub the microphone all day. But, okay, so...
that is called Kevin humor. Get used to it.
That's going to happen a lot, folks. Sorry. So, but I always wanted to do something dramatic and something along the lines of science fiction and adventure. And so that's where the idea of doing the show came from. Benjamin Banneker was an actual person. While I doubt he was the crazy, wacky science fiction character that I've made him out to be, he was a very interesting founding father in American history. He had actually worked on,
DC.
He actually
laid out the grid.
He was essential. Benjamin Banneker was essential to the layout of the city of Washington, D.C.
So like the literal creation of our capital city.
Yeah, exactly. He also wrote an almanac that was actually that was seen as an improvement of Benjamin Franklin's, and he predicted the patterns of locusts. That really helped out farmers. Now, what I will do is somewhere on the page that you're reading this, I will post some links to where you can get some really, really good information about Benjamin Banneker, so you won't have to rely on mine, because I know that this is kind of, what I'm saying is kind of shoddy right now. I base this on this character. But the interesting thing about Benjamin Banneker was that he was born a free black man in the United States. The fact that the people of his time had respected him so much, and that he was able to do what he did, while at the same time possibly having to outrun slave catchers, even though he was free, was really a remarkable thing. And it's what figures very heavily into the character's background, that you had a genius who had to deal with such oppressive circumstances. And so, I thought he was cool back when I was a kid, and so that's where the inspiration for the character came from. The premiere episode of the show was called The Rescue, featuring Benjamin rescuing the listener from a very unpleasant set of circumstances. And then after that was the first time I'd ever featured another performer in the show. I thought it was going to be just me by myself from then on out, but fortunately, very blessedly, I was able to work with somebody else. That person was Alicia Austin.
Who's very pushy.
Yes.
That's why I'm sitting here.
Absolutely.
Totally invited myself on board.
And I am so glad you did. How did you get involved, Alicia?
I got involved because you, Kevin, shared the episode with me before it went live. And I immediately not only fell in love with it, but we worked together for so long that I knew where you were coming from. And I think I kind of saw what you were hoping to achieve with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be a part of it. So I asked, just quite point blank, as old friends can do with one another, if I could come aboard doing whatever, anything short of like scrubbing floors. I have a writing and acting background, so I wasn't just coming, out of thin air. Let me do these things I've never done before, please, please. But I just felt that this is such an interesting creative idea that it has so many possibilities, and I wanted to be a part of it.
It's so a big sandbox, yes.
Just kind of let me do whatever you think I'd be good at. And we just got to talking, and within probably 20 minutes, I'd sketched out the bare bones of the character of Hilda Hyatt.
Mm-hmm.
It took me about another day and a half to come up with her name, but it was pretty instantaneous as far as what type of person she would be and kind of her background as the silent movie actress. Because of my other life, I'm a huge cinema buff, and I really particularly enjoy silent films.
Yes,
I've written on the subject for as long as you've known me, including for publications that you've done and elsewhere. And I just thought that someone who was a silent serial queen would be a great fit for the Bondbreakers.
Right, right. Because a lot of those ladies, this might not be common knowledge, but there were very prominent directors back in the silent age of cinema who were women.
Like Mabel Normand, who directed some of her own stuff.
Yeah.
And they often did a lot of their own stunts.
Yes, they weren't playing around.
During the 1910s. But just some of the women who, I'm not really going to talk about them today, but come back for future episodes where we're going to delve into some of our specific inspirations.
Yeah, you won't want to miss that, folks.
Yeah, so I'll be talking about, Mabel Normand and Pearl White, Ruth Roland, Helen Holmes, Helen Gibson, among others.
I myself will be talking about some, not necessarily male performers, but certainly maybe writers, particularly producers, because I love the idea of producing. I love the idea of making shows and getting stuff together. One of my roles on the show is doing the sound effects, which I think is going to involve Hildy a lot, because having somebody shapeshift, you know, in a perfectly audible medium is going to be very interesting.
But we're definitely going to have to rely to an extent on some sound effects. But you did an amazing job with those sound effects in the first two episodes.
Thank you.
And he did not pay me to say that.
that's a genuine
free compliment.
And there's no threats either. Not at all. Not that you'll hear on this one. Anyway, could you tell me something about the first character that you played in the series?
Ah, yes. Which was our second episode.
Yes.
And she has a fabulous name, which I will let Kevin tell you that, because he came up with it. And it's very memorable.
That is Gladiola Van Grim.
Yes.
And there is a silent N at the end. Here, I'll pronounce it for you. Gladiola Van Grim. There.
But she was challenging and very interesting. I think she started out in the development stages as more of a pure, not heroine, villain.
Mm-hmm.
Total villain who was going to be a one-off. But sometimes you write something or play it and it evolves and it becomes a little bit different. The ending point is different from the starting point. She was definitely that way. She ended up being a lot more emotionally complicated and nuanced. Mm-hmm. So she isn't pure evil, and we will actually be hearing from her again occasionally in the future. I'm not going to tell you how, because you have to stay tuned for future episodes.
Yes.
But she kind of exists in a gothic dust bowl wasteland. A poor little girl who became an heiress, literally in about the span of 20 seconds.
Right.
It unfolds before the listener's, I don't want to say eyes, but ears, in a kind of a very sinister way.
Right.
And even though she's a child, she's still definitely culpable for that choice.
Right.
So she was just a really interesting character to play, completely different from Hilda.
Exactly.
He didn't challenge me right out of the gate or anything at all. Not at all.
That's right. In the second episode, the one featuring the premiere of Gladiola, Bennett actually tried several different ways of sneaking towards a victory, and that didn't work. So the only thing that could work was he had to speak to her directly, tell her what's going on, and then leave it up to her as to what to do, because there was impending doom coming up. And so, in a way, that kind of, it wasn't just about him beating a villain or him beating an enemy. He had to pretty much present everything to her and see how she figured it out.
And hope that she reacted in a way that he thinks is logical.
Right.
But not everyone's logic is the same.
That's right. And, you know, it would have cost her quite a bit to do that, to cooperate with him. So that was kind of the crux of the challenge.
She would lose either way.
But yes.
Which loss is greater.
So. Yes, exactly.
So, Kevin, where do you see Epic of World Saga going?
I really want to do the show as often as I can. What I'd love to do is have a show where I'm working with, like, a full cast, different characters every episode, maybe cranking out something twice a month, full sound and everything else. You know, you certainly have done a great job with the blog.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'd like to make that as expansive as possible and just have artwork and representation of the characters. Something I am looking forward to working with her in its development is the Patreon.
And you knew we were going to mention the P name.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's 2018. We're creative people.
We're actors. We need money.
Yes. And we're writers also, so that's even worse.
We need even more money. We're going to be putting together a Patreon next month, and we're going to have a lot of really nice rewards, starting with things like stickers and moving on to bigger things. And we also hope that you will stay with us as we grow.
As the universe that we've have created and are creating continues to expand.
Exactly. Well, folks, through the magic of technology, we have just eaten and finished a pizza. You won't know this by the time we have this chopped up and put on the internet, but it was delicious. Don't you think so?
It was amazing.
I'm KM Scott.
And I'm Alicia Austin.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Worlds podcast.